The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning. How are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. Well, Jesse Buckley fever has gripped the county this weekend, and if you were tuning into Radio Kerry all week, you would have heard all the good wishes, messages, poems, stories and photos that have been sent on wishing Killarney's own Jesse Buckley all the best in the Oscars tomorrow night. And Radio Kerry are going to cover it right through, because on Sunday night there is going to be very special coverage, because Billy is extending Irish favourites until 12 a.m. and then Katie Jane is on air until 3 a.m. with updates from Killarney and the Oscars. And all going well, an Oscar win. Now, we will be in the next hour having our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world. We'll also be speaking to Kate Kennelly about Jesse Buckley. And we will have a very special film expert. There isn't anything that this man doesn't know about movies, Darrell Vesey. And he's going to be on to talk about Jesse Buckley's career. And also, what we all want to know, what are her chances? What are the odds that she is going to bring home the gold? But it is not, I was about to say it's the first Saturday of the month, but it's the second Saturday. We had to rejig things around for our TY programme, but Dominic Walsh didn't mind. He's ever the professional and he's here for our monthly In Focus photography slot. Dominic Walsh, how are you this morning?
Good morning to you, Joe, and good morning to you, listeners. Sure, Amadai, amazing. Isn't it the Jesse Buckley weekend? I mean, isn't it an amazing, like, we're on the world map. Everybody knows about Killarney, everybody knows about Kerry, and everybody knows about Ireland. What an amazing young lady, and she's going to do fantastic. I hope she's going to do very well like that. And I was passing through Killarney during the week. They have flags up on windows. Everybody's excited and it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm delighted to know that Radio Kerry have good coverage that night and you're extending your programmes. I think everybody in the county is going to be up listening to it. As I say, I've never photographed her. Don McMonagle, that photographer in Killarney, excellent photographer that he is. I know that Don has photographed her in the past and has met her quite a number of times down that. So it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I interviewed her once, and this is before she was the big movie star. But I have to say she was a pleasure to interview her for Radio Kerry. So maybe I'll be saying I interviewed an Oscar winner now come Monday. So that'll be great to say. There is lots of poems as well, and we have two particular poems, one Oscar Elga, one Oscar Berla, which I'll be bringing to you in this hour, if I can speak the language fluently enough for you. And but Dominic, it's as always, we look at your photos that you took during the month, and then later on we look at the listeners' photos. But the first photo we're going to look at is, it's a photo of a woman in front of a lectern and she has a laptop there. It's like she's doing a presentation. So what is this all about?
This is local. The Kerry Local Enterprise Board had Enterprise Week. They passed by there recently on that. And I was asked to cover one of their early morning events. It started at, I think it was about, I arrived about 8:15 and it goes on to about 9:45 and they discuss legal things, seminars and employment law and things like that, you know. But what I did is I was at the back and I had to take pictures of the speakers, and Fiona was speaking on that. And it was a funny morning. It was raining. It was sunny. It was overcast and it was bright overcast and everything. And as I was in the back trying to take the picture, the sun every now and then would pop out. And it's just a perfect way of using window light to get a picture. The sun came out, the light shone in, and that's the light coming in the door over Ballygarry House Hotel. And it's coming across there like that, and it's coming across her face like that. And I took the light readings that happened. It was there only for a minute or two like that. And it just shows that if you can control the light as opposed to the light controlling you, and you can get a quite a good picture. And it just worked quite well. So I've got the settings and how I took it. So if anybody's interested in photography, go to the settings and have a look at that. If the only thing that I did on that that was different from normal is flashes were off. I braced myself very hard. I had a long lens and to take the picture. It just works as a picture. She's there. She's lovely blonde hair. She's looking out. The soft light is on her skin there like that. And you've got a background shot of a lady kind of with bright eyes and glasses looking down on top of her like that. The composition is quite nice.
Yeah, it's a really cool photo. Your next photo is, geez, it's a real once-in-a-lifetime kind of a photo. You have the former president there, Mary McAleese, and Miriam O'Callaghan, and RT presenter Mary Kennedy as well. And they're taking a selfie. And Miriam O'Callaghan, you can see she's well experienced in taking selfies because she's the camera up high, no up and under, kind of under the face shot. This is a lot more of a flattering shot to put the camera up high. And lots of people do that to take a good selfie. And you're taking a photo of them taking a photo.
Yes, indeed. This, as you said, Mary McAllen, what a lady she is. Mary Kennedy, I would know from the Rosa Tree. She was the chairperson there for many a year, a lovely person. Mary McAleese, an absolute fabulous lady. She was so kind in the talk. But I take my pictures, and we were due to go back, and they were doing a podcast on the night up there in the Midlands Hotel. And just as I was going in after taking a series of pictures, I spotted Miriam saying, come on, and we get a picture for myself here from my phone. And again, this is the correct way to take a selfie. You see people having the cameras down low, looking into the camera. Not good for your posture. Lift up, look up into the camera, and it comes down on top of you like that. And also, light shines down, so it's a lot better that way. But it's a quick snap, as I would call it. If you go for me, and I always say rules to be broken, and in turns, I've no straight lines in it. They're all over the place. I had to cut out the end because there was flowers underneath them and on the table. So I kind of shot over the table. And it just, as I say, it just shows that always kind of be ready to take a picture and get a picture anyway. Because as I always say in the press, if you're doing news work like that, a bad picture is better than no picture. And this is, I would class as not a great picture, but it's an interesting picture to capture. Do you know?
Yeah, it's a moment. Yeah, so brilliant. Now it is coming into St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is on Tuesday. And you have a photo of a kind of a St. Patrick's Day launch, I presume. But it's a photo with St. Patrick. He's more of an action figure, St. Patrick, the way he's moving. And he's surrounded by, I don't know what you'd call them. They're like something out of Alice in Wonderland. And there is a real sense of movement and colour in these two photos.
This is just a synopsis of what you're going to see in the Tralee St. Patrick's Day Parade on next week, on the 17th, on that. And you're going to see this around, this is going to be replicated around all over the county on that. But what happened was, I was doing the pre-shoot, St. Patrick came down and I had some ladies on it, but I had props. But if you look at it, I kind of had too many props. I had a beautiful sun and there, and I had two hands, and I had young street performers in these lovely, colourful dresses and came up. So I actually had too much to work with. And I decided, if you've too much to work with, just chuck it all in and see how it all works. So I lay down the hand and I got him coming in, and I've got him walking. Nobody's looking at the camera. St. Patrick's jumping in the air. He's like Batman, actually, or Spider-Man, if you're, depending on who you are like that. And they're looking, and I have the people looking, the ladies looking up at him, and he's looking at them. And it kind of just makes an interesting bit of photography to use. I did use studio flash for this. So I well lit this like that. I put a bit of effort into the lighting and working out. It took a bit of time to get it. But if you're taking pictures yourself during St. Patrick's Day, it's a great time to go out. You can meet people and there's no problem taking pictures. You know, just don't jump into the parades because they might get a bit upset like that. But take as many pictures as you want like that. And it's kind of an unusual angle. Again, it's not like the selfie. I was down low shooting up and it just works.
Do you know what I find at parades? And I was at that wonderful Killarney Christmas parade, you know, that was on there over the Christmas period. We brought Cullen along to it. But it's very hard to take a photo of the floats or different things when you're on the barrier, kind of, you know, when you're right on the roadside, kind of looking at them because you're too close.
You are, yes, and it's position is everything.
Mm.
If you're going to watch the parade and you want to see it and put up your phone, yes, they're going to pass by you. But if you're going and you want to take some pictures, I would suggest either be at the start of it when they're getting ready and they're all around, go take pictures then. You're not interfering with anybody and people are more than happy to take their pictures. They're nice and relaxed at that stage. Or coming close to the end. Or normally they might have a performance area, whether that might be a stage or a platform or anything like that, and where they come down. That's where you usually see the best of. They dance, they perform, they jump, they juggle. You know, you see a lot of things like that. And I also see a lot of parades now as well, around the county as well, are also doing parade-friendly areas as well, where the parades come along and it's quiet and they walk by and the performers start waving to everybody, interact. For people now with sensory issues or anything like that, it's a lovely way to view a parade. Check with your local parades and see if there's any parades like that, if you have any sensory issues, and make the effort to go, because, trust me, it's a lovely, colourful place to be and there's loads of things to see.
Did you ever go participate in a parade, even as a young lad?
I did. I was in... Actually, you'll wait till you hear this name. I was in the Cullen Marching Band.
Yeah.
As a young fella, when I was about 9, I was in that. I started on the triangle because I didn't know what I was doing. Then they put me on the drums for a while, and then I was too loud on the drums. And then they made the huge mistake of putting me with the cymbals on that. They could have put me on the other side of the town, and they still would have heard me, and that was fine. Then I moved on from that, and I went to the FCA Army pipe band. I was in that for a while, playing the tenor drums. And I was also a member of St. John's pipe band as well, parading. And I had so much fun doing it. And what a lovely group of people that they were.
Mm. Do they still do the fancy kind of, you know, the way you'd have your, what's it called, rosette or whatever? You know, you'd have something on your lapel. Now, I know, like, you'd have shamrock as an adult, but there was very nice kind of badges for kids and things like that with the green, white and gold on them. I presume they still do them, but I just don't see them as much.
You don't actually see a lot as much like that. A lot of people now tend to dress up in colours more than, you know, different, let's say, rosettes or flowers or like that, you know. Like, when we were in the bands, like we would have had feathers, they were called. You had a little feather on your cap or something like that, you know. And there was and sometimes you put up a green and white one, or you might have a white one, or you might have a yellow one, and you'd put them up at different events and things that you could change the colours on them.
Yeah. Well, we are going to be looking at more of Dominic's photos later on. We're going to his archive, but we will be looking at your photos next. And we'll also have some poems in dedication to Jessie Buckley, because it is the Jessie Buckley weekend here on Radio Kerry as we build up to the Oscars. Dominic Walsh is going to stay with us. We're going to take a break. We'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
McGill on Radio Kerry.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement, and I hope you're enjoying the programme. Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot. We're going to be going into your photos very soon, but it is the Jessie Buckley weekend as we build up to the Oscars, and hopefully a win for Kerry's own Jessie Buckley. And now it's time to read a poem that one of our listeners sent in to us, because Radio Kerry, we're running a competition all this week as well, looking for entries of praise for Jessie Buckley. So this is from Karen and Elaine Parker, two sisters that wrote this. Dear Jessie, from Killarney, the place where your story began, our little town is cheering loud. You followed your dreams with courage and song, and make your hometown so proud. We've watched your wonderful journey grow from homes to screens far and wide, and every time your name is said, we feel a burst of pride. From small beginnings filled with dreams, the theatre is shining bright. You follow those dreams with courage while we watch them quickly take flight. From I Do Anything to The Lost Daughter, Beast and Women Talking Too, you've shared your voice and talent and shone in all you do. From Wild Rose, where you sang so strong, to stories that travelled far, you've shown the world your skill and grace, you truly are a star. And now in Hamnet, you bring to life a story deep and tragic, with strength and feeling in every scene that touches hearts like magic. So good luck, Jesse, on Oscars night. We're cheering near and far, because to us you've always been our very own bright star. No matter what the outcome, we're proud of all you do, and everyone here hopes one day to dream as big as you. By Karen and Elaine Parker. What a great poem that was, Dominic.
Isn't it just fantastic? I actually closed my eyes when I was listening to it. It was absolutely lovely. So, like when you hear things like that, it kind of puts you in the position, like, what is Jessie thinking at the moment? Can you imagine her mind? Can you imagine she has to get her dress, get her shoes, get her hair done, her makeup done, get it all there like that? And when you hear something like that, you've got to think about this, the nerves and that, because I'm sure she feels pressure, even though she's got so far, and she's amazing that she's even been nominated. Like, I mean, that's an actual honour in itself. But, like, you just, when you hear things like, it's absolutely lovely. And it's lovely to hear that from locals that are saying it about our lovely Jessie.
Yeah, like, I'd imagine it means a lot to the likes of Jessie and her family that people have taken the time to write poems and, you know, and stories and sent in photos and different things just to kind of pay homage to her. So it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Now, it's time to look at your photos that you sent from home. And our theme was Spring Has... Spring Into Life, I think it was, Dominic, wasn't it? Yeah, Spring Into Life. So because the theme was spring, now, in fairness, Dominic, we haven't had much of a spring so far. It's been a fairly wet and windy and cold all spring.
I have to agree with you, Joe. It's been, even looking at my archive of pictures that I've taken for the month that I've set aside on that, they're very minimal. And I'm always an avid saying, get dressed for the weather and get out there. But I was out there. I couldn't take out my camera, couldn't take out my phone. And the last couple of days, the rain and the wind, I think we even had a yellow warning this week on that. And we had high waves, you know. And to be honest, you have to forgive people if they're not going out in this weather like that, you know. Like, you know, stay safe, you know, go off in and around like that. But I'm sure it's going to improve. I think there's a high pressure coming next week or in the next week, something like that. Hopefully that the weather will improve.
Well, Dominic Walsh said on the radio Saturday there was high pressure on the way, so there must be. You'll get an awful slating now, Dominic, if that high pressure doesn't come in. Anyway, I think pressure is for tyres. With a slight spring in his step, a man is treading lightly at Clonmel annual coursing meeting on February Bank Holiday Monday. It's a real balancing act as he has food in his mouth with a cuppa in one hand and grub in the other, while in the background is a packed stand. Yours, Moss Joe Brown, and he's capturing again daily life. Dominic, the poor man there hasn't even the sandwich yet or the piece of food yet, and he's getting a photo taken of him.
Now, that gentleman, and he's a very well organised gentleman, I have to say now, for the listeners out there and you at home when you're listening to what we're saying like that, but he's on a mission. He wants to get back to the best view, and he's after rushing over to get his food. He's eating his stuff on the way, and he's getting himself prepped for the next event that's coming up. So you can see that he's on a mission. And behind him, then, you've got a little stand. It's these trailers that do the coffees and cups and teas like that, you know, which is lovely there. And behind him, you've got just a sea of people behind, and they've all got programs in their hand. And if you look at them, they're all doing something. You can tell the event isn't done, because they're all looking different ways and they're looking down, because if the event was on, they'd all be looking the one way. So it's between events taking place, I'd say, but very interesting photograph.
Yeah, I like the way Moss Joe Brown is looking the other way, you know, taking that other kind of a view, which is always brilliant. Hi, Joe and Dominic, hope you like my choices. Crazy Daisy is the flower in the first picture. A Simple Snowdrop is next, and a robin singing from Ita Hannan in Bale. And I have to say, each photo is as good as the next. The robin singing, I think, is just spectacular. It's like he's singing, spring has sprung. And there is, like, it's almost in slow motion, because it looks like a raindrop falling next to it, and it's there balancing on something very small, obviously, but it's a proud robin singing its heart out. And then the snowdrop is like macro photography close-up with the beads of condensation or water, probably water with the month we've had, dripping down the side of it. And then the crazy daisies. I've never seen daisies like that. It's like someone cut them out of paper crepe paper or something, but that's a spectacular photo as well. Ita has the eye, Dominic.
Ita has the eye. I think when we were looking at these yesterday and we were talking about these pictures, I think I came up with the idea that it's the Bob Marley haircut. They're crazy, like with the hairs going all over the place.
Dreads.
And the curls. They're like giant daisies. They're absolutely full. There's lovely colour on them, and it's a really kind of a nice packed photograph with images. It's absolutely lovely. And to get back to the snowdrop, it's an amazing picture. It's absolutely amazing. The snowdrops are there. I would think it's an early in the morning picture. It's just after a shower rain when it comes down like that, you know. It's absolutely lovely. And just, it's a drooping flower. It's absolutely fabulous. And as for the robins, so the robins are amazing little birds. I mean, like, we have one or two in our garden, and they almost go up and tell you to go away. Like, they go very close to you, and they nip off then as well. So they're that type of bird, and they love you, and they sing, and that. And yes, you're correct, that there is a slight drop of rain coming down. If the camera speed is slow and rain comes down, it can actually create lines in the photograph. Lovely selection of images. Three images, totally different.
Excellent. We are going to continue looking at your photos. We're going to go to a break now. And we'll also have another poem in tribute to Jesse Buckley for this Jesse Buckley weekend as we build up to the Oscar night tomorrow night. Oh my God, it's just like Christmas Eve here in Radio Kerry. We'll take a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney. Serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement. Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus Photography Slot, where we're looking at your photos. But we're also reading a few of the poems we got in this week in tribute to Jesse Buckley as we build up to the Oscar weekend. And now I'm delighted to say we have a poem, Oscailga, Dawn the Jesse. Good morning. I hope you're well. I'm just emailing you as I've written a poem, Oscailga, to wish Jesse the best of luck with the Oscars. I've attached the poem, but I've also given the English version in case it's needed for understanding. Gaurav Mahagut, and that comes in from Molly Nishig, and it's called Buckley's Pride. So I'm going to give a go at the Irish version, and apologies now if I make a few buttons along the way, and we'll give you the English version then as well. So it's Broad Buckley, Le Molly Nishig, Ta Kiri Eglonu. Le lúchar agus bród. An tachas ag lína gach clós agus ród. Beg ár man Jesse ag fáil a blahana. I lár an stáitse a max na scahana. Tá a Oscar seo ag tach le fada an lá. I séhir lán de fashion agus de rá. Réalta lunrach léach agus an spráid. Gan éin a stór ele i gúmparád. Tugan si ard agus cúram de gach ceán dá ról. Scanán fwy chúha, ólaha agus ciol. Ba valantra máhar, vridach agus áránaí í. Cinte, tá an aistóracht i lár a chrí. Tá gach duna i gíri ag tácú lé, agus í ag crochú. Aldina as cré, broad crocta sin air, agus docus sa spair. Chun go muig Jesse, tomid e gui gulair. Mar sin a Jesse, o mūrort da chara. Bun soltas an iha agus tūr ara. Beg kiri eg fara, le sula broad dula. Chun an askra all, as da hair crua. That is Go hontuk ar fad, Broad Buckley, Le Molly Nihihig. Agus as bearle freshen, and I'll try get you the English version of it as well. It's an absolutely wonderful poem. So here it is, Buckley's Pride. Kerry is brimming with joy and pride, happiness filling every yard and road. Our woman Jessie will be getting her flowers, taking centre stage out of the shadows. This Oscar of hers has been a long time coming. Her work full of passion and love. A shining star, a hero and an inspiration. No other actress compares. She gives attention and care to each of her roles. Movies about grief, scientists and music. She was a nurse, a mother, a bride and a singer. Certainly acting is at the heart of her. Everyone in Kerry is behind her as she creates art from clay, pride hanging in the air and hope in the sky. For Jessie to win, we're all praying. So, Jessie, good luck to you, our friend. Enjoy the night and take care. Kerry will be watching with proud eyes for you to get the Oscar for your hard work. Jeez, you'd almost be emotional with all this, Dominic. It's unreal, isn't it?
Can you know something? Listening to you now, and you gave the English version and you gave the Oscar, our Irish person, on that. I must say, I don't speak Irish and I'm not proud of that. I'd love to have spoken Irish and been able to speak it and read it. But I thought the Irish version sounded much better and eloquent. It was absolutely fabulous to hear it in Irish. So it's a lovely language.
Yeah, it is. I have to agree with you. And even though I have to say, and that's a skill now by our poet here, that even in English, like, it just means so much by Molly. But the Irish is absolutely outstanding. Yeah, you're right. It's brilliant. What a great poem. That's a work of art. Now, Dominic, we kind of have to pivot again now and get back in to looking at our listeners' photos. The theme was spring has sprung, and or spring into life. I keep thinking it's spring has sprung, but it's spring into life. And Joe, this is a photo of a handmade felt fabric painted frame, cotton, wool, etc. Picture my cousin's daughter in Chicago made for me last year. She is 21, but she is challenged due to severe epilepsy all her life. She's very shy and very beautiful. I feel privileged to receive this from her. Always love your show. Thanks, Mary Landers. And this is an outstanding photo when you think about our theme, Spring into Life. It is a photo frame of a rabbit in felt. And a bunny rabbit with the cotton, you can feel, this is a tactile kind of a work. It has the bunny tail, which you can feel because it's like cotton wool made of. And then there's a daisy on the head of the rabbit. And then along the photo frame is spring by using, what is the word I'm looking for?
Word puzzles?
No.
Scrabble, is it?
Scrabble, thank you. Jeez, I couldn't think of Scrabble. My brain was scrabbled. That's Scrabble.
That's your age, Joe. Yeah, and that's staying up late at night with Cullen and all like that. That's what it does to you.
But,
you
know, yeah, but anyway, Dominic, over to you. It's a great photo, isn't it?
Don't worry, listeners. I'll take over the show. If he doesn't come up from mom, he's asleep. Just I'll take it over. Like, it's easy. You know, but getting back to this picture like that, it's absolutely, Mary, look, you have to get a message across to that young lady that made it for you. It's special, and it comes across. What you've got is you've got a frame, and the frame is a little bit tattered or worn, Joe. You kind of rub the paint. It's a brush paint. There's spring on the left-hand side. There's a little carrot down at the bottom with a little rabbit, and the rabbit, like, the rabbit is just sitting there. You've got one ear up, one ear half down, and that you've got a daisy in the back of the head, and it's very tactile. You can see it. There's no glass on it like that, but it's absolutely lovely. One thing I have to say is probably when you're photographing square objects or anything that has shapes on it, it's very important to go in at eye level of what you're doing. Get nice and low and get yourself composed right in the middle so that the lines are quite straight. Because what happens with this, if you're a little bit left or a little bit up and down, especially when you photograph picture frames or any objects like that, even could be a picture on the wall, get your angles right and go down and take it. And just, you'll get it right there and there. But it's lovely. Great little picture.
Yeah, brilliant. And really thinking outside the box, which we know Dominic loves. Hi, Joe and Dominic. I've only one photo for you this month. Swimmers diving off Black Rock Tower, Salt Hill, Galway. During the summer, Marion McGill in Drummond. And that is the famous jump you'd see. Was that in The Guard, that movie? I'm thinking it was, but that's Salt Hill. It's a famous kind of a double pier where people jump off and they swim. You'd be able to do that, Dominic, I'd imagine, because you're quite a strong swimmer.
I've spent many time up in Galway windsurfing up there, and we used windsurf off this area here, actually, you know, there in Salt Hill. Is where this picture was actually taken, that area there. It's absolutely fabulous. The fun you have there, like winter and summer, it's an absolutely magnificent place. And just something, it's lovely for people to get pictures from around the county and bring them in on different parts of the country like that. It's a lovely picture. There's so much happening. And you've got a Galway hooker on the left.
I was thinking,
sailing that there as well, which is absolutely lovely in it. So, like, it's a great picture on that. Do you know? I know we've rained, and I know we give out about the weather in Ireland, and I know we say, oh, this thing. But you know something, I'd rather have all weather than be too hot or anything like that in some of these countries. And you can go to these lovely places and just go and enjoy yourself. Great picture.
Yeah, fantastic picture and a great spot there of the Galway Hooker with the red sails. It's very distinctive. Hi, Joe and Dominic. Spring into life on the Island Road, Tarbert. Lovely to see the colours coming back again and a fresh new start. And that is Brendan Cassan. And of course, you couldn't have spring without the daffodils, Dominic.
The daffodils are lovely. They're an amazing flower. But the only... My daffodils are only coming out in the last week or week and a half.
Yeah, and that's what. Yeah, and I was thinking as well. Even you know, usually when we previous in focuses and it's springtime, you'd get loads of photos of daffodils. We didn't seem to get them, and I was only thinking this when I was driving the roads the last few days. I was thinking, remember there was like 1 January they were all kind of springing early or something like
December,
that.
December, I had it 1 year in December.
But like, no, there didn't seem to be a load of daffodils now, to be honest.
And this is lovely. Look, it's along a road. There's a lovely walkway there and a nice composition. It's quite an interesting composition, actually, if you see. There's a bit of a turn in the road. It's veering off left. There's the walkway, the footpath. Then there's the road. Then there's the stone wall going along. And there's this lone tree sticking down, slightly veering off. And the reason it's veering off, because obviously the wind comes in the southwest and it hits that. And it's actually leaning. It's been hit southwesterly, so like it's leaning. And you can see when looking, if you look it down nice and low, and you're looking into it, and you see that lovely sky as well behind, it's absolutely fantastic. And you know, again, it's staying safe, staying in off the road, getting down nice low, and getting the lovely coverage, and having absolutely fabulous daffodils. Brendan, great picture. I absolutely love it.
Excellent. The next photo is again from Mary Landers. This caught my eye on the way to Cairn Dump, in inverted commas, recycling centre, I think it's called. Oh, maybe. Didn't she go as thanks, Mary Landers? And it's of the daffodils on top of a pillar, and there's that plaque to Daniel O'Connell, emancipationist and champion of human rights, born near here on the 6th of August, 1775. And you can actually see to the left is Cairn Bridge, and the pillar is actually blocking the birthplace of Daniel O'Connell, and that's the park there, Daniel O'Connell Park, outside Carrigsaveen. A beautiful place. It was actually, would you believe, Dominic, where we took a lot of our wedding photos, because I got married in 2018 and it was sunshine for about 40 days beforehand, and when we came out of the church it started to sprinkle, and we got a lovely photo down at the Waterville Beach, and then it started to rain and then it started to pour. So this was our plan B, was to go here on the way. We were going to the Ballyroe in Tralee for the reception, and we got some beautiful photos inside in that park. So it has fond memories for me.
It's absolutely lovely. Look, you got married. I got married in 1988. And that's a long time. Yeah, I can see Joe's eyes opening up and saying, yeah, I'm so young looking. I am so young, Joe. I was only a child when I got married.
88? You got married in 88, so you got married...
1988, the 16th 30, of July, 1988.
30 years before me, you got married, so...
Yeah, I'm thinking about you, and I'm still only a young fella, like, you know, on that. Now, you at home might be laughing. The grey hair, don't worry about the grey hair. That's a light issue. I'm actually quite dark.
That wasn't your communion, though. That was your wedding, was it?
It was my whole communion. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah,
I'd say that, yeah. 1988 on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm still there, Joe, on that. But getting back to that picture, it's an absolutely brilliant picture. It's just something I would have preferred, again, as Joe said, move left or right. And give it a purpose. The reason you give it a purpose, because that's a unique area. And the plaque is dedicated to Daniel O'Connell and the house and the area. That's lovely. People should go and visit that area and look across and see the birthplace on that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful area down there indeed. Good morning, Joe and Dominic. I have two pictures this month. Number one, lambing time has begun. Joe, I must get one of the McGill's bottles. The second one is mother's in the waiting room. Thanks to both of you, Agnes O'Sullivan. And that is a photo of expectant mothers to be the sheep there around the rocks. And yeah, someone actually sent me a photo of my McGill's beer as a baby, as a milk bottle with the nipple on top. It was very, very funny. But this is a different beer brand on the front of this one. Agnes always sends great photos, Dominic.
It's a great picture, great picture. I would think it would look better with McGill's myself, but that's only my own personal view on it like that, you know. And that, but it's great, it's lovely. Look, the lamb is in the grass, little lamb, and it's obviously being fed milk from the bottle on that. And you can see it's lashing into that bottle like there's no end to it, and there's no way it's going to move right taking it. But it's a lovely picture. It's a great humour picture, and it's lovely to laugh at pictures like this. It is absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. They are our photos, Dominic. So your first photo, humour photo of the month, where is that going?
Look, we've just spoken about it. Agnes, you've got it. The bottle with the milk, you know, the beer bottle with the milk feeding the little lamb there is absolutely lovely. And that's our humour, the picture of the month. Great picture. Again, and as I say, thinking outside the box, moving in, it's a nice picture on that. So it's lovely to get. It's one of those quick snaps that you would grab.
Excellent. And your photo of the month, Dominic?
We've got a great selection in. Lovely to get them in. Keep sending them in, pictures. Like, we really spend a lot of time looking at them, and we appreciate when listeners send them in on that. So keep them coming. The Wednesday before our date comes in, make sure you get them in to Joe on that. It's a picture that I liked, and it's a picture that was made from the heart from a lovely young lady that put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's of our little rabbit with the spring in the side. That's Mary Landers. And your daughter in or your cousin's daughter in Chicago should be very proud of herself that her picture's after winning out of all the pictures we got from all over Kerry, that her picture is after making Picture of the Month on Radio Kerry.
Photo of the Month. Well done, Mary Landers. And now, Dominic, what is our theme for next month?
Well, it's rugby season. Everybody's into rugby. You hear that amazing tune, Ireland's Call, like that. You know, I mean, let's bring Ireland's Call into Radio Kerry. Like, it could be Jesse pictures of what you see around the place. As you can see, there's pictures up and there's flags up in Killarney. There's flagpoles. There's everything like that. St. Patrick's Day is coming. You're going to get amazing pictures for that. I think next month we won't be able to fit in all the pictures we're going to get next month like that. So just get out there. Ireland's Call. It could be anything to do with Ireland's Call like that. It's absolutely lovely on that. Because as we say, this is a local thing, but people all over the world listen to it and people all over the world look at your pictures. So it's a great platform to get your lovely artwork out there.
Excellent. Ireland's Call. Email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. So this one's going to sneak up on you slightly that we missed the first Saturday. We're into the second Saturday already. So midday Wednesday before the first Saturday of the month. We're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to be going into Dominic's archive.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
Dominic Walsh is still with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot. Now it's time to go into Dominic Walsh's archive. And he has brought a wonderful collection of photos. Because it's Patrick's Day on Tuesday, he has a collage of photos from Tralee 2000. That is 26 years ago, Dominic. And this is the wonderful thing about going back into the archive. There is a photo of a pipe band. And then there's the photo of there's some kids playing. They're not kids anymore, I can tell you that. There's a man in a tractor. Oh. And I wonder, is it because of the time this was done? Is it Bill Clinton? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing that there's always something topical. Like, there was a lot of Trumps the last few years in the St. Patrick's Day parade. But these are just wonderful to have, aren't they? And that's a young Norma Foley there, is it?
That's young Norma Foley, and that's her dad, God rest him, Dennis Foley, that. And Norma's husband, his name is Dennis McGuire. So she, you know, there's two Dennises in her life on that. My St. Patrick's Day parade next Tuesday is going to start at about 5:15 a.m. I'll be up and ready to go. I'll be heading back to West Kerry to Dingle to cover the St. Patrick's Day parade back there. It's the first parade of the year. First in the morning, actually. You know, it's going back to penal times when they weren't allowed to have a parade during the day. They had it pre-dawn in the morning. So that's where I'm going to start.
That's the drum and fife band and all that, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the Dingle Fife and Drum Band, and that Fergus O'Flaherty there organises that there. Great to see it. And it's unusual because they play around, they start playing, there's nobody there. And by the time they finish, there's loads of people behind it because the people come out and walk behind it. That's a kind of tradition in Dingle, like they walk. But this particular parade is in Tralee. It's in 2000 on that. And you can see they really don't change. I was looking at parades over the years when I was looking for this. And it's they're much the same every year. Different people, like, but much the same every year. And it's like, you can enjoy it like that, you know. This is St. John's Pipe Band when they were called the St. John's Pipe Band. And that's a gentleman called Christy Switzer. who was the drum major in front, and he was walking there with that, like that drum, and it's lovely to see it. And look, bands and people that take part, a lot of them do it voluntary. And we really have to go along and say thank you to the people that get involved. Thank you to the students and the young people that take involved. The parents have to bring them. They get organised and they bring them there. It's probably not going to be warm there. They're probably going to be slightly clad with their uniforms on and things like that. So they're going to be quite cold. But it's just great to see it like that. And I think, you know, the more people that get out and the more people that get involved, because the time starting this year, you've got Dingle at 6 a.m. in the morning, and you've parades around the county coming up to 4 and 5 in the evening, like that, you know. So, like, wherever you are, there's parades all over the place.
Excellent. Dominic, it's always a pleasure to go into your archive, and you'll be back with us the first Saturday of next month. And our theme is Ireland's Call. Dominic, enjoy the parades, enjoy the weekend, and thanks a million. It's always a pleasure to have you on here on the programme. We don't take it for granted for a minute. So thanks a million, Dominic, and have a great weekend. And like I said, enjoy Paddy's Day.
I will enjoy Paddy's Day. Best of luck to the Buckley family in Killarney and to the people of Killarney. And again, thank you very much for sending your photographs. Without the listeners and you at home, it just wouldn't work.
Excellent. Jay McGill at RadioKerry.ie for those photos. And speaking of Jesse Buckley, we're going to be talking to Darrell Vesey, a film enthusiast and expert, about her career and what are her chances in the Oscars as we build up to tomorrow night. And hopefully she'll bring home the gold. We'll take a break. We'll have the news at 10 and I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars. Packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Now we're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement. I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. This weekend we're celebrating Jesse Buckley. Coming up to the Oscar night tomorrow night. Now Sunday night, and the whole county is behind her, and you've been sending your best wishes for Jesse all week, and we've been playing some of those and listening to some of those and hearing from some of those during the programme. Well, we're going to talk a bit more now about Jesse Buckley, and I'm delighted to say we're talking to of Claude Monte Barbers, Darrell Vesey. And Darrell is a film enthusiast as well, a movie buff. And there isn't much that Darrell doesn't know about movies, talking to him over the years. So I said I'd give him a call during the week to bring him on to talk about Jesse Buckley's career and what he thinks her chances are and the Oscars in general. So Darrell, you're very welcome this morning. How are you?
I'm very good, Joe. How are you getting on?
Good. Do you get excited around this time of year? Is this like your Cheltenham, speaking of Cheltenham, the week of Cheltenham?
Very much so. Up until I became a dad, I used to stay up every year to watch the Oscars till like 5 a.m. And then I come into the barbers and I'd be bleary-eyed and everybody would wonder, why in the name of God would you stay up till 5 a.m. to watch the Oscars? Because I just love movies.
Yeah.
And this year it's especially special because Kerry's own Jesse Buckley will mathematically almost certainly win the Oscar this year. It's I don't want to say she will 100%, but she's 90% going to win it. She's herself and Ludwig Göransson for Best Musical Score are the two almost bet your house on winners this year. And you can say that for the first time in years, you can't say that about any of the other categories. But Best Actress, Jesse Buckley, you'll get terrible odds on her, but it's free money if you want to bet on it.
I'm laughing to myself here. We should have said spoiler alert, Darrell, because, you know, like a good movie, we should wait till the end to see what happens. There might be a twist in the plot here yet, though.
Well, that could still happen, and I'll talk to you about that in a while, about who could potentially beat her.
Mm.
But this is the one possible lock, along with, as I said, Ludwig Göransson for Best Score.
Right.
Well, I think Sinners have that absolutely won.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about Jessie's career. So, we know she was in amateur drama in Killarney and was already standing out from a young age. But professionally speaking, how did it take off for her? What was kind of her first breakthrough role or led up to her breakthrough role?
I suppose the big thing for her would have been, I think it was called Stars in Your Eyes over in the UK, where that kind of exposed her to like audiences all over the United Kingdom as well as here in Ireland. And then she spent a couple of years on the stage, and you know, she was in The Tempest, and she was in an awful lot of The Winter's Tale, Romeo and Juliet. She did extremely well in all of those on stage. And then, you know, my passion is film, television, and what have you. She really kind of hit the world stage with War and Peace, the miniseries for, I think it was for the BBC, and she was in like 6 episodes of that. And then she was in a show called Taboo with Tom Hardy, which has kind of gotten a second life in recent years on streamers.
Hmm.
And, you know, like she was a major role in that, and she kind of went from strength to strength from there, because Jessie is, and like, you know, I don't know her, but, and I hope if she does ever hear this, she won't be offended. Jessie isn't what you'd call a movie star. She's an actor. And I think she very proudly called herself that. She's not in Marvel movies. She's not in like Batman films. She's somebody that could see by the work that she's done. She's very selective about what she wants to do and who she wants to work for. And I think that's like really, really refreshing. Fassbender also is like that. Kerry's own Michael Fassbender.
Mm.
And like Kerry film fans have been very good to Jessie over the years as well. Like Killarney Cinema in particular. Like they've gone out of their way to put on films for her, like Wild Rose and Beast.
Yeah. Speak about Wild Rose, because I saw that a few years ago. I thought she was exceptional in it. And, of course, she showed off her singing chops in that as well. It was kind of, she was a country wannabe country star, basically, wasn't it?
That's it. You know, the lovely film. She actually won a BAFTA Scotland award for that performance. And, yeah, it's one of the few times in her career on film that she got to show off her incredible singing voice. And, you know, like Jessie's a real triple threat. She can sing, she can dance, and she can act.
Hmm.
And there are very few modern stars like that. But yeah, Wild Rose was kind of that first one that kind of, even though it was a small film, like the BAFTA Scotland, as I said, was a big deal. And it kind of put her on the map to kind of get more meatier roles that allowed her to see, get more eyeballs on screen to her.
Hmm. And what were those meteor roles?
Well, I suppose like immediately after like Wild Rose, she found herself in a situation where she was able to be on like a massive, massive television show. Won all the Emmys, all the BAFTAs, all the everything. Chernobyl.
Hmm.
You know, like, and that was huge. And she played Ludmila Ignatenko, I think was the name of the character. She was the wife of one of the men who was unfortunately killed during the meltdown. And her character was there to show the human cost of the Chernobyl meltdown and the inactiveness of the Soviet government at the time. But it was a huge show and it won everything. And like being on a show like Chernobyl, in the modern climate where people don't really go to the cinema, that gave her millions of eyeballs on her. Because even if people don't tune into Sky or HBO, because so many people download illegally, Chernobyl is one of the most watched shows ever. There are people in countries that don't have HBO who have seen Chernobyl because you can reach it through these illegal streaming boxes. And in the modern era, that's a way to get eyeballs on you, is to be in a massive television event. And Chernobyl was a huge television event.
Yeah, it was huge in Ireland. It was on RT or something, because like I remember everyone talking about it when it was out.
It was 100% on Sky, because Sky Atlantic had it.
Okay.
To this day, I don't know if it's gone on any kind of terrestrial television channels.
Maybe it was Netflix. But no, I just remember everyone was absolutely...
Oh, yeah, like everybody was watching Chernobyl when it first came out. Hmm. It was a huge, huge show. And that's 2019, the same year she was in the Judy Garland movie with Renée Zellweger, where she had a supporting role. Zellweger won the Oscar for that. And again, she was somebody that... good directors, good writers, producers and actors, they kept looking at her and saying, this is somebody that can handle this material. She does not get starstruck when she's in a role, and she always gives these really, really good performances, whether it's a big role or a small role. And she had a small role as Queen Victoria in Doolittle with Robert Downey Jr. That movie didn't do too well, but again, massive production, huge budget. Oscar-winning filmmaker Stephen Gagan made that film. And then probably the big, big, like, leading lady moments for her came right after that. In 2020, the same year she did Doolittle, she had two massive projects. One she was in, I think it was the fourth season of Fargo, based on the film by the Coen brothers. Really, really great TV show. Every year, a new cast, new storyline. And she was absolutely exceptional in the fourth season. Got a lot of plaudits, got a lot of like awards buzz, but it just didn't quite materialize. But she was also in a movie called I'm Thinking of Ending Things, which was directed by Charlie Kaufman, who won the Best Screenplay Oscar for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. This is a guy that everybody in Hollywood wants to work with. He's very selective. He doesn't make a lot of movies. And when he does make movies, people don't really go to see them. But if you have a filmmaker that you love, like a Christopher Nolan or a Spike Lee or any of these guys, they all love Charlie Kaufman. He's your favorite filmmaker's favorite filmmaker, if that makes any sense. And the fact that he like chose Buckley to carry this entire movie was huge. Mm. It was herself and Jesse Plemons, who's a brilliant actor as well. And it's this weird, angry, dark movie about mortality. And I'm probably underselling it because you can watch that movie and take away from it whatever you want. But she anchors the whole thing. And there were a lot of people, I'd say, in Hollywood in particular, even though the film wasn't a big hit commercially and it was mostly released on Netflix, there were a lot of people standing up and going, oh, Jesus, well, if Kaufman wants to work with this person, then she's something else. And that gave her The Lost Daughter with Maggie Gyllenhaal, which was her first Oscar nomination. And it's been a roller coaster ever since then for her.
Yeah, she is.
Because you hear Jesse Buckley's name now, it's usually synonymous with Oscar nominee Jesse Buckley, and The Lost Daughter brought her there.
Yeah. Like, you know, some people think that Jesse Buckley is like this overnight success. When you kind of, describe it there and go through it, it's such an impressive body of work. And the people, the caliber of people she's been working with over the years is highly impressive as well.
It's astounding, to be honest with you. And as I said, I think it comes down to the fact that she picks good scripts. So she might be one of those actors, and I'm sure there's plenty of them in Hollywood, where Jessie often thinks to herself, if I do good material, I'll work forever. It's not a case of taking this one massive paycheck to do a studio film that'll do really well, but then you kind of lose your creative juices making it. Because these films, if you make something like a Marvel movie, you're on set for 8 months, you're standing against a green screen, it could be soul-destroying work. And it seems like Buckley just really loves acting. She loves looking another actor in the face and just emoting and just going for it. And like her follow-ups to The Lost Daughter. One was Alex Garland's movie Men, which again, she was the lead of. Again, it was a film that did well critically. And again, commercially, it did fine. But that's all movies now, unless it's a massive, you know, superhero film. And her performance in Men was really, really good. And again, Alex Garland, this is a guy who made Ex Machina. He wrote the 28 Years films and the 28 Days films. He wrote The Beach for Danny Boyle and Sunshine. He directed Ex Machina. He directed Annihilation. Civil War, which came out last year, he directed as well. This is a big, big hitter in Hollywood.
Whoa, yeah.
And again, he was like, this is my person. This is the person I want to lead my movie.
Whoa.
And then she made Women Talking, which probably should have been her second Oscar nomination. It won the Best Screenplay Oscar for Sarah Polley. She loves working with female directors, like Chloe Zhao this year for Hamnet. But Women Talking was this huge moment for her because she added other accolades, not just the BAFTA Scotland that she got for Wild Rose, but she won the Independent Spirit Award for Outstanding Cast for Women Talking. And if you're an actor who's like completing this incredible triple crown that she seems to be doing this year with the Golden Globe and the Critics' Choice Award, BAFTA, the Screen Actors Guild Award for the actor, the Independent Spirit Award is a huge award for a lot of people in Hollywood because it celebrates independent films. People like Quentin Tarantino, Kevin Smith, John Cassavetes, Martin Scorsese, they all won Independent Spirit Awards. It's a real street cred kind of an award to get. And she won the Robert Altman Award, which is for Outstanding Cast. So she shared it with all of these amazing actors that she made Women Talking with. And it's a really great film that not a lot of people saw. But I think once again, I think it was in Killarney Cinema. And I think it was in Tralee for a brief period as well, because it was nominated for the Best Picture Oscar. And that's what I was talking about a minute ago when I said, you give the name Jesse Buckley to people, it is synonymous with Oscar caliber roles. There's very few people that do that. And I'm proud to say, as an Irishman, the only other Irish person I can think of that when you say their name, it's synonymous with Oscar nominated and winning roles, it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Whoa.
Every time Daniel is in something, there's awards buzz about it. You only have to look at Jessie's IMDb page to see that every time she does something, these little golden statues are just around the corner.
Yeah, she's so young.
It's amazing.
She's so young as well.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Hamnet, then. What did you make of it? And describe her performance in that.
Okay, you're going to think I'm saying this just because I'm on your show. I'm not. I went to see it by myself one night. And it was tough to get in because I go to the cinema every week. I'm an OmniPass holder. And for ages, the cinema was packed. And I was putting it down to this outrageously awful weather we've been getting in January and February. But I went in and I spoke to Fergus, the manager, and, you know, and I just said it to him. I said, what's with all the cars? And he said, Jesse Buckley, man. People are showing up for Hamnet. And Joe, that's insane, man. Like, that's nuts. Hamnet. People are showing up for Hamnet. A two-hour movie about William Shakespeare and his wife grieving the death of their son. That's not a spoiler. That's what the movie's about, by the way. Mm-hmm. In case, you know, audience people are going, Jesus, Daryl, calm down. It's not. She plays Agnes Shakespeare. And the film is about how the Shakespeare family dealt with the grief of their son. William wrote Hamlet, because it's very similar to Hamlet. And she just had to grieve in silence because he was in London writing all of his plays and she was back home with the other children on their farm. The film is really good and it's directed by Chloe Zhao and she makes these beautiful little intimate films. She's an Oscar winner in her own right. She's only she was the second woman at the time to win the Best Director Oscar. There's now been three. The following year it was won by Jane Campion, the New Zealand filmmaker for The Power of the Dog.
Hmm.
She took on Hamnet, which was written by a Northern Irish woman called Maggie O'Farrell, who's in the running for an Oscar this year as well, with Chloe Zhao for Best Screenplay. Hamnet is a beautiful little film about grief. And it's a beautiful little film about the joy of family and about how, even if it's a terrible emotion, you have to feel it, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
And that's not a very cinematic thing. And Chloe Zhao pulls it off beautifully. It's very well written. It's brilliantly acted. Paul Mescal is exceptional in it too. He was hard done by not to get an Oscar nomination himself.
Mm.
But Best Supporting Actor this year is a really, really strong field. And I think he was just unfortunate he lost out in the shuffle. But what I'm going to tell you about Jesse's performance is not me trying to blow smoke up anybody's backside on the radio. I came out of it that Friday night and I went into work the following day and I told people I went to see Hamnet. And I said it was like watching Jesse Buckley's performance as a grieving mother. It was like watching Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. You were there with her every moment, every tear, every look, every bit of quiet rage or just melancholy. You sense it. And it's a good film. But that performance raises it to this other level, if that makes any sense. Because I did like the movie itself. But it's anchored by one very important scene that I won't go into because it's for the audiences to enjoy and her phenomenal performance. And I mean phenomenal performance.
Well, There Will Be Blood, Daniel Day-Lewis, one of my favourite performances. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely outstanding. You've mentioned him twice now that she's in his company. So high praise indeed. Daryl, stay with us because we have to go to break. Daryl Vesey is with us talking about Jesse Buckley because all this weekend we're building up to the Oscars and we're all behind Jesse Buckley that she will win the Oscar. But she has been so successful so far and it's not ultimately about about the awards either, as Darrell has been saying. It's the body of work she's been putting together in her outstanding career. We're going to take a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals, available in store.
All this week we're building up to the Oscars for Jessie Buckley. Will she bring home the gong for Hamlet and an outstanding performance? And we're joined by Darrell Vesey of Claude Monte Barbers in Tralee, but he's a movie enthusiast and a movie expert, as you'll probably hear, as you probably heard before the break. And Darrell, just briefly, I think it's important to mention other kind of Kerry actors as well. We're kind of punching above our weight, and just overall, film in Kerry is in a great place. Brad Pitt rumoured to be around Ballycarrick Castle in Carsevine in May, and just all the other films, going back to one of the first films ever made in Beaufort. So, you know, we're doing pretty well when it comes to the film side of things and our actors.
That we most certainly are. Well, obviously the first one to start with is Michael Fassbender, another two-time Oscar nominee like Jesse. The guy is both an actor and a movie star. I think he would prefer to style himself as an actor, but Michael's worked with everybody. He's worked with David Fincher. He's worked with, you know, Steve McQueen on multiple occasions. He's a two-time Oscar nominee. You name it, he's been nominated for it. He's worked with Steven Soderbergh multiple times. This guy's the real deal. Like, he's a proper A-list actor, and he's married to an A-list actor, the Scandinavian actress Alicia Vikander. But in Kerry, we also have the great Tim Murphy, who is one of the great character actors on American television. He's been on Shameless, he's been on NCIS, he's been on loads of shows. And Tim is a guy who's so good at doing an American accent, you don't realise that he's an Irish actor. But he's in loads of stuff. He's been on so many programmes over the years. You name it. If you like 24 or any of these programmes, he has played a character. And I think he was on 10 episodes of Sons of Anarchy. And he was in True Detective Season 2, which was a huge, huge show. And he played the primary antagonist on that show as well. He's the type of guy who, like J.K. Simmons, he will eventually get the right role and it'll send him into the stratosphere, because he's a really, really great actor. And it's not just actors that we punch above our weight with. We have Owen McPolin, the cinematographer, who has won a BAFTA Wales Award, and he's the cinematographer on the show Foundation for Apple. And we have Gerard Barrett, the film director, who made two of my favourite Irish films ever, Pilgrim Hill and Glassland, two fantastic movies. Pilgrim Hill was shot here in Kerry, I think in Brosna, which is where Gerard is from. And, you know, the Kerry, as a filming location, it's massive, but it's produced some great filmmakers. I have a couple of friends who even are involved in the film industry. A very, very good friend of mine, Shane Costello, has worked on Foundation and The Banshees of Inisherin, and he's from Beaufort.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's Kerry. Kerry's got a hell of a... Yeah, Kerry punches above its weight globally for all of these things. Amazing.
Yeah, and there's lots more, and we better be careful, because people say you're leaving out this person, that person. We're just giving you a snippet.
100%.
We're just giving you a snippet.
So many people.
Yeah, we're just giving you a snippet. Finally, you kind of said it at the start. You're putting her odds on favorite Jessie Buckley to win the Oscar for her role in Hamlet. Who should she be watching? You know, when they put the five up on screen and we're looking at the faces, what other face should we be looking at and hoping that they won't win?
Rose Byrne for If I Had Legs, I Will Kick You. That is the only person that could come in and cause an upset. But I was looking at the Hollywood Reporter this morning, and they were looking at the betting odds and the blind questionnaire that they give Academy voters. Who are you voting for? And it's totally anonymous. Jessie's at 89.3%. It's insane. These things have happened in the past, Joe. Marissa Tomei was not supposed to win her Oscar in 1992 for My Cousin Vinny. Jim Broadbent was never supposed to win that Oscar in 2001 for Iris. There have been massive, massive upsets. Even Denzel winning for Training Day was not expected. Russell Crowe was meant to complete the full sweep for A Beautiful Mind. It didn't happen. But I think the other four nominees, Rose Byrne, Emma Stone, Renata Rensif for Sentimental Value, and Kate Hudson, they're just there to have a good time that night, Joe. I think Buckley has it. I hope I don't get an angry letter off her next Monday if she doesn't win.
Daryl, that doesn't change the wonderful performance she's made in and all her body of work. It's just, you know, it'll be the icing on the cake, and we wish her the best of luck. Daryl, 100%. Daryl, final word to you before we go to the break.
There's another great little Irish movie nominated for Best Animated Short, and it's called Retirement Plan. You can see it on the New Yorker's website. It's one of the few Irish nominees this year. It's really, really great. People should go onto YouTube, Retirement Plan, and watch it. It's around 7 minutes long. It's absolutely beautiful. And because it's the New Yorker, they've got the budget behind them, and I think it might actually win the Best Animated Short Oscar this year.
Excellent. Well, Daryl Vesey, I called him a film enthusiast, a movie enthusiast, more like a film expert. Absolutely outstanding. Daryl, thanks a million. We're all well informed now leading up to the Oscars. And enjoy the night, because I know it's a big night for yourself as well. But thanks a million for coming on this morning.
Thanks so much, Joe. This has been great. Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom. We'll be talking more Jesse Buckley as well, and we'll have Kate Kennelly from the Arts Office letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer-ready meals available.
Now, it is the second Saturday of the month, so that means it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, where we let you know what's going on in the arts world. And we will be talking about Cruinniún an Óg. Can you believe it? It's around again. We'll be talking about that during the programme. But first, it's time to talk to Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council. Kate, how are you this morning? What have you been up to?
I'm very well, Joe, and good morning to all your listeners, and happy springtime. We're getting into the brighter days, Joe. It's all good.
Yeah, very much so. So you mentioned springtime. This is a busy time of year for you, isn't it?
It is. And since I last saw you, Joe, I was at a very interesting event. You know, it's so important that the arts and the arts sector have places to go, you know, in terms of their own career development. And MTU have announced and declared that they are an arts-rich technological university. So I was at the launch of that a few weeks ago there in Cork, Joe, and it was really interesting, across the visual arts, across music, across theatre. They've such a broad spectrum to offer for people who do want to go on and study creativity and arts at third level. And it's great that, you know, this is going to be built on in Kerry in particular. One question I was asked on the day was I happy to be there? I said I'd be even happier if it was in Tralee instead of Cork. But anyway, we'll shift the balance yet, Joe. Leave us time.
Yeah.
And outside that, I was at a lovely exhibition down in Sheamsa. There's so much happening. You have the animation Dingle. They have art as animation. Niamh in my office was back at Scoil Ceolan Airig. I didn't get back to it, but she was back at that and said it was absolutely fantastic, as it always is. You've Niamh Whale and Brendan Begley do an amazing job there. So plenty happening, Joe, and loads coming up that we'll touch in with maybe after you've spoken to our other two guests.
Yeah, and speaking of our other two guests, a wonderful thing you have going on, a wonderful initiative you've going on in Kerry County Council and the Arts Office is the Artists in Residence Syndicate.
It is. And the programme is quite varied. So it's across a number of art forms. And dance is so important, Joe. And it's an art form that has grown and grown through the residency. You know, the focus was always to bring new opportunities for contemporary dance practice and dance, you know, in ways that maybe wouldn't have been as prominent before the residency programme. And Catherine Young has just been outstanding and has been our dance artist in residence on and off for so many years now. But she brings such dynamism, such professionalism, such integrity and enthusiasm to the programme and works with so many people across communities. And I let her talk to it. But Joe, all I can say is we're very lucky to have her.
Very lucky to have her indeed, and we're very lucky to have her on the programme this morning. Catherine, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks very much for having me on, and thanks, Kate, for the lovely introduction. So, I'm glad you didn't give away the number of years I'm here, so I can wear my age.
I don't want to give away the number of years I'm here either, Catherine.
Moving swiftly on, what are you hoping to achieve with the residency this time around?
Well, we're kind of mid swing at the minute, and we have a very varied, big program. We have classes going on in both Dingle and in Tralee. We have some West African dance with live music, which we started last week. So that's every Tuesday in the presentation primary at 7:30, and in the secondary school in Dingle at 7:30 on a Wednesday. So we've had a huge turnout last week. So people are welcome to come join in. It's a free program sponsored by Kerry County Council, and it's a really joyous way of getting a bit of exercise and meeting new people and coming together. And I think a big thing for me in this age is how can we use dance to come together? It's you know, the world is quite polarized. People are attached to their devices. So something lovely about dance that brings us together. We get to move and be in a space together and get to meet people that we wouldn't typically hang out with. So that's always a big goal of mine in the work. And we've had a program ongoing in the schools. We've had a dance show came last week to some of the primary schools in Kerry. And we also, I have a tour, I have a new show that we created called Kishok, and that's going to be at Sheemsa in April 28th. So we're going to we have a national tour of that. So we'll be bringing it to Kerry. So we hope our Kerry fans will come out and support us. And we've Micheál Abdul Elvishano, singer from Kerry, is in the show as well. So a lot of Kerry artists are touring in the show. So yeah, so we've both a lot of performing and practice going on. And then we've also started a professional contemporary dance class on Tuesday, every second Tuesday morning in March. So we kicked that off as well. So just for the professional dancers in the county that want to train and upskill a bit, it's a way for us to build a little bit of community, come together. So the residents are trying to hit both the professional end, the making of work, and also the community engagement and getting more people moving and dancing and seeing dance.
Yeah, excellent. And is there a kind of a vibrant community of professional dancers out there?
Well, I'm saying to Kate, it took me, probably 20 years to gather a community. So we had six people in class, and they're all, teaching dance. Some of them have trained with me. They were in my youth company, and some of them were in my classes when I was teaching at UL. So the people that I've come to know over the years, but it's only now they've come up through the ranks and are at the level where they're working and dancing professionally now. So it's like when you invest in something in an area, it takes years. It can take a decade to build a dancer. So now they're at the age where we can actually have professional class, which is lovely.
That's excellent, because you often
my work here is done.
Yeah, it's a legacy, because you think about the trainers themselves and who trains the trainer. So it's actually it's brilliant, because overall then the standard is going to get higher and higher in the county.
And then what's lovely is, say, Aileen Murphy, who came up, she was in my youth company. So now I'm able to bring her in as a teacher in school. So it's allowing me to kind of move further in one direction and then begin to, and then say Hannah Buckley will sub my classes in Dingle if I'm not there. So then it just simply allows employment for other dancers, so that when they train as dancers, they can begin to see, well, there's employment in this as well. And it allows me to share and then to move on to other things and to keep kind of forging ahead. So you're building a dance ecology, but it's taken a while to do that. But, I'm beginning to see payoffs now in terms of there's a community building, where maybe 20 years ago, you're stabbing around in the dark wondering how it's possible in rural Ireland to do something in contemporary dance.
Excellent. Remind people about the tour you were talking about there again. What's it involve and where is it on?
Tour, it's going to be on all over Ireland. So we're touring Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Kerry, Clare, Donegal, a few more in there. So it's called Kishok, an Embodied Manifesto. And it's a show that's, I guess, inspired by the times we're living in. There's this broken connection with the land. I was reading a lot of our beloved Malcolm McGann's books at the time in terms of this, how do we reconnect to the land from which we're from? How can we reconnect to our heritage? I was reading a lot of books on indigenous cultures and how they're so connected to the world. And, the polycrisis over time, especially the environment, I was curious at how could I make a piece that touched on that, but that was in a very dance and embodied way. So it is looking at how, it's just the thing, if we don't have a relationship with something, whether it's a person or a place, we can destroy it, we can objectify it, and we can commercialize it. And that's kind of what's happened. So I wanted to try and address this issue, but in an embodied way, looking at how do we come back to the land and how can we value that relationship, and how can we do it through music and dance. So we're touring. We're going to be back in Kerry Tuesday 28th at Sheemsa. So yeah, that's our home gig. So we'd love to see loads of people.
Excellent. What does Kishok mean? I was trying to look at it there. It has a few different meanings.
Yeah, there's two different meanings. I mean, I wanted it to be an Irish language word, because we were trying to connect back to our own heritage. Like for years, I've been so invested in other cultures. So, you know, a background in West African, I've back and forth to Palestine and learning the dance form there. And I was really curious why I had avoided my own, especially when I'm steeped in Kerry. So the piece, in a way, is my own journey back to my own roots, and to, because I think there's something about colonization and you know, Monckton talks about this in one of his books, that we had the famine. So did we lose trust in our land because it didn't provide sustenance? So in a way, you know, I also emigrated to the States. So there was this disconnect for me, and sometimes for many people. And I think Monckton and other people are helping us with the stories get back to that place. So I wanted, it was very important for me that the title was in Irish. And I found this beautiful word, Kishok, which means two things. It means, you know, screw up, a mess up, like just
shambles.
You know,
yeah.
Shambles, yeah. Which is kind of where we're at right now in the world. But it also has a second meaning, which is kind of a wattle pathway, a woven pathway over unstable ground. So for me, it was both the title, it was both the problem and the solution. So I thought that was quite beautiful, because we're trying to deal with the now, but look to the past to find some wisdom to take us into the future. So it's not that we ignore the past, but or not that we want to even go back there, but how can we take the beautiful wisdom that we had? You know, we had the Brehon laws, we had all this amazing wisdom that was deeply rooted in the Irish language and the land. And how can we take that, use this wisdom, which is our own? And it also is deeply connected to Indigenous cultures all over the world, which is the fascinating thing. And then move and take this moving forward. So that's kind of what the piece.
Excellent. Anna Clista. Catherine, Gnairi and Tallet, best of luck with everything. And thanks a million for coming on this morning.
All right. Slán.
And now, like I said at the start, it's hard to believe it's that time of year. Cruinniúin an Óg is around the corner again. Kate, it's one of your big ones, isn't it, before we talk to Emma?
It is indeed, absolutely. So Emma will take you through a lot of what we're doing this year, Joe, and I suppose on the back of the winds from last year. So our Creative Ireland Kerry programme is very busy, as always, and Emma is our Creative Communities Engagement Officer, so is leading out on a lot of the work and administration with our Creative Ireland programme. And Cruinniú is, I suppose, it's our showcase in the year, and it's when the spotlight shines on creativity for young people. And in addition to Cruinniú, I'll just touch in maybe after you speak with Emma, the Creative Ireland Kerry grants that were awarded this year. There's a lot of them across the county, and that's all good news as well. Or Emma might take you through that as well, and I'll touch in after. But no, delighted to be at this stage where Cruinniú is advertised. So I'll let Emma take you through it.
Yeah, thanks, and Joe. Over to you, Emma. What have you planned?
Yeah, so this year, I suppose we're taking a little bit of a different angle with the National Day of Creativity. It's been running in the same format, I suppose, in Kerry anyway, since 2018. So the idea for the applications this year for the proposals is to actually give the children a longer exposure to the new creative activity. So it means that while we used to have the option of having process-led, you know, weekly workshops, and then with a showcase at Cruinniúin an Óg, which is going to be on the 6th of June this year on Saturday, what we're asking this year is that the proposals come in all in that context. So it's not only letting the young people explore their creativity, but like that gives them a more kind of robust feel for it, and hopefully even develop a new skill because they'll have longer access to it. This is all, you know, it all builds the confidence. It all sits in well with the whole programme and the idea and the alignment with Cruinniúin an Óg and what it's supposed to be about. So what we're doing is the applications are open now. Like you said, we've got the new guidelines up on our website as well, which is arts.kerrycoco.ie, and it's /Cruinniúin an Óg. So you'll find it on the top there. We're looking at proposals to come in for each of the municipal district areas. So if this is very council talk, but if people aren't familiar with those areas, you've got Tralee, you've got Killarney, you've got the kind of wider North Kerry Listowel area, the very large South Kerry Kinmare area, as it's called, and then you've got a split between Castle Island and Corcaguina. So we'd kind of envisage that we'd have 1 to 3 larger projects in each of those areas this year, and we're offering grants of between 1,000 and 5,000 euro. We're looking for people to work with all ages. So Cruinniúin an Óg is aimed at anyone between 0 and 18 years of age. And we're looking for, if possible, obviously a high level of artistic and creative merit in the applications, but also in line with the voice of the youth and a lot of the youth strategies from government, we're looking for participation and inclusion from the young people. So in a lot of cases, this will mean that the creative practitioner or the community group or professional organisation who's looking at the proposal might engage with a specific group. So they might target a specific group of young people ideally, I suppose what we're trying to do is reach people who are harder to reach, who might not necessarily have the access, whether it's down to isolation or just, you know, any sort of other circumstances that the children are in. So yeah, the targeted engagement groups is probably what will strengthen an application. It's not to say that people can't have, you know, publicly open ones, but you'd just be looking at how they're going to advertise it and recruit people into it. And then obviously on the day of Crinan and Oak, Saturday the 6th of June, we're looking for all of these to culminate in a big event. So they'll be showcasing all the things that they've learned. They might be putting on a show, but we'd also still be looking for the participatory element on the day, so that even if a child hasn't engaged with the process the whole way through, on the 6th of June, where hopefully all the children of Kerry will be floating out and about and looking for fun things, that they can walk into a library branch or, you know, a community centre or whatever and have something that they can participate in on the day. The other side of it, which we did have last year as well, is some more activities in the evening time. So these are aimed at young people between 14 and 18 years. They'd be events that are taking place after 4 o'clock and continuing until at least 8 o'clock. Again, we're looking for these to be youth led and activity based, so that the participants can kind of create their own programme, and that it's not just up to the grown ups to decide what we think the children would like, but actually that the children and the young people are having their own part to play in what they'd like to explore for Crinan and Oak.
Excellent. And Kate, like, there's just some amount of work going into just the one day, but all this prep.
Yeah.
And it's some day when it does happen, though, doesn't it? But it just doesn't happen on its own. You can see what the work Emma's talking about there.
That's for sure. And Joe, so the call out is live at the moment. So any artists or creative practitioners or community group or youth group or like that, schools, anyone who wants to apply to be part of Crinan and Oak and to secure the funding can do so. So the application forms are on the Kerry County Council website, I think, Emma, and they're on consult.ie. And, you know, like Emma mentioned there, in terms of inclusion, Joe, I'm always so aware on the day at Crinan and Oak, you know, you often have a very similar demographic year on year. So it's certainly my wish this year that we have a more targeted engagement, so we have more people who don't always have the opportunity to engage with creativity getting to enjoy it as part of Crinan and Oak. So, you know, certainly I'd love to see applications where people are looking to work through the schools maybe, or certainly a broad reach, so that more children and more young people can actually actively participate, have fun, and maybe see, look, this is for me down the line. You know, I know we'll be touching on it later, because, you know, creativity can build people's careers and they can make their impact in the world. And from Kerry, you know, we do it so well. So we just want to see that maxi-sized.
And any final thoughts on it, Emma?
Yeah, so I suppose just to let people know that with the new guidelines, just to familiarise themselves with them, we will be putting this out on social media. So you can follow us. The social media handle is at Kerry Co Arts on Instagram and Facebook and X. And so they'll see the detail there, and the closing date is 12th of March. But if anybody does have any questions or queries, the Arts Office is always available to chat to people if they have any, need any clarity.
Yeah, excellent. Emma Carmody, Creative Communities Engagement Officer with Kerry County Council, the Arts Office. Thanks a million for coming on and telling us all about it.
Thanks.
And best of luck with it.
Thanks, Joe.
Kate is going to stay with us because we are going to be talking more about what's going on, but we'll also be talking about Jessie Buckley as part of our very special Jessie Buckley weekend. Hopefully she'll bring home the Oscar come the end of the weekend into Monday. Won't it be great? We'll take a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bar, located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan.
You're listening to Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, because it is the second Saturday of the month. Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council. The Arts Office is still with us, and it is our very special Jessie Buckley weekend. Kate, all weekend we're celebrating Jessie Buckley ahead of the Oscars. And who better to talk about Jessie Buckley than the Arts Officer with Kerry County Council? She's an absolutely unbelievably talented woman, isn't she? And I suppose outside of all the awards she's been getting, she just has somebody of work already. And she I suppose she credits this county a lot with developing her in the early years as well.
She does, Joe, which is fantastic. Now, I can think of plenty other people more accomplished to speak about Jessie and who would know her better. But I'd have to say I had the pleasure of meeting Jessie when she was a little girl, and we had her performing for the president at the time. And Jessie was playing the harp in Tralee Library in this exhibition I had organised. Mary McAleese was coming down. It was called Rhythm of Kerry. And I wanted to show the rhythm of the people, the landscape, the culture. And as part of it, we had some performers from the, at the time, the Kerry Young Musician of the Year, which was run by the Rotary Club in Killarney. And Jessie was one of the winners and was playing the harp. And her mum was with her on the evening, the lovely Marina Cassidy, who, again, I would have dealt with a lot through the arts office over the years. She also played at my dad's funeral. Marina is absolutely fantastic, but Jessie comes from such a lineage of talent, and her dad, Tim, as well, and his poetry. So, yes, I must say, Joe, over the years, just watching her, you know, on the screen has been wow. You know, I mean, what she brings to her craft. And, you know, it's the moments of subtlety. I always remember when I watched Wild Rose, and there is that scene where I can't remember the exact words now, but basically, you know, she was a wild character as such, and always following her dreams. And she turns to her mom and basically says, sure, you know, dreams, you know, they're not important or whatever. And it's that moment when you can see she's giving up. And it's done so subtly, and her mom, and the way the mom looks at her. Sure, I was in bits watching it anyway, but it was just such a beautiful moment, and it really hinged and pivoted the film then to where, you know, she just became so much more supported. And I suppose, you know, the whole thing came round to, yes, a dream is valid and a dream is valued. But that was just one of, sure, she's been in so many, but it's the subtlety, and it's the reality, I suppose it's so grounded, her approach. And, you know, that's how you can relate when you're watching her on screen, and it touches you, you know, and it connects emotionally, as she connects emotionally. So I just think she's amazing, and so proud of her. As a person from Kerry, but you know, as arts officer, so proud of Jessie and her achievements, and just want to say well done on everything to date. And she's such a long, bright, shining career ahead of her.
Yeah, and it's a shot in the arm for everyone in the arts world as well in the county.
Yeah, I just want to say, Joe, you know, with regard to the Rotary Club, you know, they provided a platform for young musicians, and like the Musical Society, and, you know, Jessie did perform with the Killarney Musical Society. So a lot of these groups that, you know, they're rooted in the community, and it's a coming together that enables a showcasing of the creative talent in a community. And that can be such a strong foundation, and they're such an important part of our communities. So, you know, from the musical societies, from the clubs that organise any arts activity, you know, look at what you are producing or you are supporting, and the parents as well, because I know Marina would also have been hugely supportive of Jessie's career, obviously. And, you know, where you have parents that aren't afraid to say, you know, follow your dreams and follow your heart. And it's great.
Excellent. We've just about a minute to go. So what else is cook? Where can people keep their attention on?
Perfect. So as ever, if people want to know what's happening, Joe, to keep an eye on our social media, which, as Emma mentioned earlier, is at Kerry Co Arts. And also if people want to sign up to our newsletter, which will be monthly for the moment, and you just email into arts@kerryco.ie. And people are very welcome to call anytime as well. The contact number is 066-718-3541. And we have our arts website as well, Joe, which is arts.kerryco.ie. So there's plenty of information there, and plenty coming up, so keep tuned in.
Excellent. Kay Kennelly, a pleasure as always, and wonderful words there on Jessie Buckley. And it is all part of our Jessie Buckley weekend, so stay tuned to Radio Kerry for more of that. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Pat Kelly is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.